Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Football and random things here on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. What's up, Jeff Woody?
Nothing much except delicious chocolates. We're just sitting in front of right now.
You are sitting in front of some delicious chocolates. Those chocolates are from Van Veen Chocolates in Pella. Van Veen has been in business for 25 years in varying capacities, started by Jill and Chuck Van Veen, and then Marja and Matt took over about 4 years ago. They have sent us some delicious treats. We're going to try some out right now.
Well,
can you say the word of what are these called?
They are pecan stukjes.
Stukjes.
So my dad is from Reasoner, and so we go down to Pella plenty.
I'm going to eat this.
And when we'll go down to Pella, and usually before this past spring.
Kyle, that's real good.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Before this past spring, we would always just go to Infeld's. Which is a butcher shop, mm-hmm. and then Yarsma Bakery, which is where you get the Dutch letters and stuff. But we'll go down and kind of walk the square, and Van Veen is just off the main square, but I walked in there because they were looking for chocolate-covered peanuts. Really enjoy that. And I walked in. I was wearing an Iowa State shirt, and I would assume it's Matt. He's just talking to him for like 10 minutes because I was wearing an Iowa State shirt. He went there. We just started talking, chatting about it, and then asked about, you know, was commenting about football season and whatever. And then he was like,
really good.
Then he asked for my name, and then instantly connected it back to fart, and then started talking for another 10 minutes about football until finally my brother, sister-in-law, and girlfriend, now fiance, was like, can we just leave? Like, you are talking too long to this person. They're nice, we get it, but we have to leave. And then when Chris said they're providing chocolates, I got very excited. So now our Pella trips include Van Veen, Infeld's, and Yarsma Bakery.
They can ship to you or for you. It's a great gift idea for health workers or the school staff member in your life. Maybe you're not able to see them, you know, mm-hmm. for Christmas time. Not going to see grandma at Thanksgiving. You can send her some chocolates. To guarantee your order arrives before Christmas, it must be placed on or before December 10th. Sorry, I have chocolate in my mouth.
You have stukjes in your mouth.
Orders after 12:10 will most likely arrive after Christmas, so you're going to want to make sure and get those in early. You can go to vanveenchocolates.com, and if you use promo code Cyclones, you'll get a 7% discount. For those of our listeners here at Cyclone Fanatic, that's vanveenchocolates.com. Also going on right now down in Pella, and they just wanted us to give a quick shout out for some of these things. And the Pella Opera House Festival of Trees. There you go, Jeff. You can go to the Festival of Trees.
Big into trees. Last name, Woody.
That's running through
trees. Do you get it?
Saturday. I get it.
Do you
that's
get
running.
Tie?
Yeah,
tie
I get it. I get it.
Because wood trees are made out of wood.
Can I finish the read?
I'm going to eat this Dutch crunch.
Okay, good idea. Running through noon on Saturday, December 5th, shop for Christmas and winter decorations. Visit the Children's Winterland in their historic theater. And it includes weekly Christmas story sing-alongs and more. That's at the Pella Opera House Festival of Trees down in wonderful Pella, Iowa. Van Veen Chocolates, shout out to you. We'll be talking about them plenty more here as we move forward through the month of November and into December. December 12th or 10th. I got it wrong. December 10th. Make sure and get your orders in and use promo code Cyclones for 7% discount at vanveenchocolates.com.
I apologize if I just broke someone's ears eating a Dutch crunch. It's delicious. It's like
I
a chocolate covered peanut with like oats and like some, it seems like some granola in there with some nuts. Terrific. Loud.
I couldn't hear it, so I assume that they probably couldn't either.
I could hear it. That's what matters.
Well, I mean, it's inside of your... never mind. Iowa State
coming. That's how that works?
We're coming off of a bye week now. Iowa State with a big game on Saturday against Kansas State. Listen to Chris Klieman on the teleconference this morning. sounds like the Wildcats are quote unquote on the cusp of not being able to, excuse me, fulfill the thresholds required for competition in the Big 12. I don't think that that means like they don't have enough players overall. I think it means that they are hitting those thresholds at the offensive and defensive line positions and the quarterback spot.
Which is very disadvantageous to having successful football when you are out many starters on the lines.
I mean, it's really specifically disadvantageous to playing football at all when you don't have those players.
Correct. I don't. This is going to be, because I think what was the first game, maybe TCU was the first time when it was, or no, it was Louisiana, that you kind of were like sort of touch and go for the, to see if the game's actually going to happen. So, you know, we're talking about an uncertainty like it's going to happen, but there's a chance that it doesn't. It's 2020, who knows? So we'll talk about it with the certainty that it does, but we can also kind of.
I will also add, it sounded like it was mostly the freshmen that this was running through, because he did kind of explain that what he was asked what they did during their bye week last week, which they were obviously were also on a bye, as I think six of the other teams in the Big 12 were. And he said that it really ran hard through their freshman class, and so they weren't able to get as much work with their young guys as they had hoped they would be able to during the bye week.
Okay. Well, it's bad for Kansas State that you can't get developmental work with your younger guys, but really doesn't affect the game too much.
Yeah. In my mind, that like was something that I was like, oh, okay. Like, at least it's just the...
For now.
For now. You don't know what could happen with contact tracing and that kind of stuff, but like that was the thing in my mind. I was like, okay, well, at least it's somewhat reassuring to know that it was mostly freshmen, and hopefully they maybe were not quite as involved in things previously.
Yeah, and could be potentially sequestered while the practices still go on.
Correct.
So, hopefully this game does happen. And, you know, again, let's just put out just the potential that it doesn't, but I don't think that either of us is counting on it not happening. Mm-hmm. It's just it's out there. Like, for those that hadn't heard that is a potential thing. Just anyway, that news is out there. And where Iowa State, there's two things about that specifically, then we can kind of ignore that and kind of put it off the table because we don't know. We're recording this on Monday night. We don't know what's going to happen between now and Saturday. But the two things that it enables is, one, if it is freshmen or even just people in general that are not able to practice during the week, especially if they're younger guys, you're not able to get a good scout look or as many scout reps as you want. And as with a team like Iowa State, who runs such a different look to anyone else in the conference, you're not getting as, you're going to have to rely on a lot of mental reps. Like, you're going to have to watch a lot of film and say, all right, well, when they come out with these three tight ends on offense and they flex one out, then when they trade after that flex to a different strength, here's what we need you to do. Here's the identification points that we're going to have you look at when you're trying to line up, and whether you're, if you're an interior defensive lineman, do you line up on the center, the guard, the tackle? Like, where do you line up? And there are certain keys that kind of line you up to that. So with Iowa State, with how much they do trading and shifting and moving, and they use the three tight ends, they have these spread formations, they'll use Sainer and Kolar as they'll play them out wide. And it's just a bunch of different stuff that gives you a bunch of different looks, which how you set your formation is dependent upon. If you don't have those scout looks to actually see it, you got to trust that your film is going to show that. So perhaps you can do a lot more walkthrough stuff, but you may have lost on practice time. Two is, let's say those offensive and defensive linemen are not able to play at the frequency or depth that they want, then that runs in, especially because Iowa State will rotate defensive line wise, that kind of removes the advantage of the offensive line of Kansas State that they usually have in most games, different this season, but that they have in most games, where it's like, all right, we're going to, similar to Iowa, we're going to wear you down by the middle of the third quarter, you're ready to be done. That's probably kind of removed when you only have, call it, seven eligible offensive linemen to use. You can't push that hard because you can't risk running one out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also thought it was interesting that he was asked what they focused on during the bye week, and he kind of went through how they did some stuff with Iowa State, but the thing they focused on mostly with Iowa State was Iowa State's defense. Just because it's a different kind of look. Their offense is pretty young when you look at what Will Howard is and where Deuce Vaughn, who is also a freshman. I can't remember if Will Howard's a freshman, but it doesn't matter. But he's obviously never seen the Iowa State's defense, and it was just like being prepared for what they were going to see. So I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. The line came out, it was 9. This game could either be like, you know, really close to the very end. I could see it being a real nail biter.
Mm-hmm.
But am I wrong if I feel like Iowa State could kind of kick the crap out of this team?
It could turn out like the Oklahoma State game for Kansas State, or it could turn out like the West Virginia game. Both of those opportunities are there, which for those that aren't familiar, just go Google it. You clearly are on the internet right now. If you're listening to a podcast, you can just go Google those box scores.
Yeah.
And West Virginia beat the tar out of Kansas State. And you kept, it's one of, you know, like the meme where it's like kept poking, like Bart Simpson poking somebody and it's like,
do something.
Do something. Like you expect them to do something and they didn't, just because Kansas State, they got hammered by West Virginia because West Virginia defense is legit. And forcing that team into mistakes when they didn't, they hadn't seen that look. It's out in Morgantown. Like, that's a hard place to play. That's a tough look. And then offensively, they couldn't get anything going against that defense. And then West Virginia kind of just steadily, it wasn't a one big play here, one big play there. It was like, we're going to run the ball for 7 yards a pop and just come at you, come at you, come at you. That's kind of how Iowa State lines up. However, they played Oklahoma State the week after, and they played them to a near tie where they had to have some late-game heroics for Oklahoma State to come out of that one with a win. Kansas State is reliant upon, you know, what Coach Campbell calls the winning in the margins kind of thing. They are exclusively reliant upon winning in the margins, where they need to win special teams. They need to have those big special teams plays. They need to stop you from having any special teams plays. They need to win turnovers. And then they need to be really good on third and fourth downs, fourth downs if necessary, but they need to be really good on the third downs on both sides of the ball. Like, those three things are what set Kansas State apart from other programs. And when you're able to not give them those advantages by any means, because they're probably going into any particular game outside of like Kansas, they're going into the game with a worse defense and a worse offense than the opponent, except those things, that third downs, turnovers, and special teams. So how do you win? Don't play into their advantages. Don't make stupid mistakes and turn the ball over. And then don't give up big special teams plays. So, again, floating between West Virginia and Oklahoma State games for Kansas State, Iowa State has had a propensity to turn the ball over, and they've had a propensity to give up special teams plays, which does not lend itself well to Kansas State. However, they also have shown the ability to not do that, and shown the ability to have their own big special teams plays. So if Iowa State minds their P's and Q's, absolutely. This game, I think, at that 9.5 line, from a talent perspective on both sides and a depth perspective on both sides, this game could, if Iowa State, again, minds their P's and Q's and doesn't open the door, they win this game comfortably. But if Iowa State doesn't, because Kansas State is what they always are going to be, which is disciplined, sound, fundamental, take care of your responsibility, and just play even keel football the whole time. If Iowa State leaves the door open by giving up big special teams plays and being out of position, by turning the ball over, by putting themselves in, you know, gambling to try and make a big, you know, down the field pass and getting sacked for 12 yards and you're 3rd and 18, those kinds of things allow Kansas State to be in the game. So stay on script. Don't open the door for Kansas State. You win comfortably. You do dumb stuff, they are 100% built to take that down. So, yeah, I don't think this game is going to end up at a 9-point. I don't think it's going to be flirting too much with that line. It's going to be well over or well under.
Yeah, and I mean, anybody who listens to Chris and Brent on Sunday nights, they've talked a lot about how the analytics don't like Kansas State. And, I mean, to put some context into that, they're 8th in the league in total offense.
There are 10 teams.
And there's 10 teams. The only two that are worse are Baylor and Kansas. I mean, as anybody would have expected. Defensively, which this is somewhat shocking, they're 8th in the league in total defense, ahead of only Texas Tech and Kansas, which tells you, but then they're also like 4th in the league in scoring defense, which tells you that they might give up a lot of yards, but they're pretty good when you get inside that 20-yard line
area. And at taking the ball away.
And taking the ball away. And then the one that I think is the most shocking to me, because it's just so against what Kansas State usually is that they're 8th in the league in rushing offense.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this a little bit with Baylor 2 weeks ago, but the idea of Kansas State being 8th in the league in rush offense and still somehow being 5-2 in league play and being in the conversation to potentially, you know, if some things broke their way, there is a path for Kansas State to somehow end up in the Big 12 championship game with 3 games to play. Like, for them to be in that conversation with the fact that they're 8th in the league in rushing is shocking to me. And then you add in the fact that they're 7th in the league in rush defense, and Like, that's why the analytics don't like them. The numbers are not good when you look at this Kansas State team.
And it's just the thing, but I don't know where you'd find, and I legitimately tried to find these as far as where are they in turnover margin, and where are they in third downs, and where are they in penalties, and where are they in special teams. Those four things are not things that analytics really love. Mm-hmm. It's turnover margin is. Like, analytics favor turnover margin. But a lot of times there's a theory that turnover margin is, it's a lot to chance. You know, the ball bounces one way or the other. Someone drops an interception when they shouldn't, or someone catches it, whatever. But I would venture to say that they're minimally top half in all those four categories of penalties, third downs, special teams, and turnovers. You're going to, and that's what makes Kansas State Kansas State. So, yeah, it's really shocking that they're really bad at running the ball, because that is, I mean, you look at any team or any Kansas State team over the past 30 years, and it's really good special teams, running the ball, eating the clock. Those are the things that end up always being present with Kansas State.
They're sixth in the league in penalties, averaging 63.9 yards per game. They are seventh in the league in time of possession. And then in turnovers, they are, where's turnover margin at? I can't find turnover margin. I can't find it. Sorry.
See, that's, I've tried to do that.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I'm sure I could, but I can't get on the internet in here. So I'm using my phone trying to navigate this website, and I'm not able to do it. But I would imagine, yes, they are probably pretty high. They were really high in interceptions, mm-hmm, and fumbles recovered.
And so, if you look at the Oklahoma game, I mean, how'd the Oklahoma game go with Kansas State, Oklahoma? They won that game because they turned Oklahoma over four times. You do that against any team, and you're going to have a hard time winning. Iowa State had to battle back to over their four turnovers to beat Baylor in an absolute scrap of a game that they ended up turning Baylor over a couple times themselves with block punt. And, like, all of those things, they had to be present in order for Iowa State to beat Baylor, because they shot themselves in the foot. So, yeah, this game is either going to be very close, or Iowa State wins comfortably. And I'm not really sure which one it is, because it kind of depends on the mistakes made or lack of mistakes made by Iowa State. But it seems like the ball is more in Iowa State's court to screw up than it is for Kansas State to outright beat Iowa State.
I mean, what are the things that you want to see the most from Iowa State? You know, I mean, especially in these next two games when it's going to be, I mean, you win the next two, you're going to the Big 12 championship.
Right.
Like,
right.
And obviously this one is going to be big, but next one against Texas, mm-hmm, could arguably be one of the biggest games in school history, mm-hmm, especially with the television slot that you're going to be in on Black Friday at 11 o'clock in the morning, which is usually one of the bigger, yeah, television spots for college football. I mean, what are the biggest things that you want to see from them the next 2 weeks specifically, but then obviously against West Virginia as well?
I think you just need to, when I say mind your P's and Q's, it's stay on schedule. It is, you need to, as this offense is built on almost a boring rhythm that, you know, the Texas Tech game was, I think, Iowa State's best, the third quarter Baylor and then the Texas Tech game, where I think Iowa State's best offensive performances, which is what it wants to do, is you're going to get 8 yards of play regardless of how you get there, and then every once in a while break one big, but you're never putting yourself in long down and distance situations. You're never putting yourself in a really disadvantageous field position, because you're always advancing the ball down the field. So staying on schedule and just making sure you don't screw stuff up, because every football play is designed for success. You can never, you would never actively call a play that has no chance of working. You sometimes, a defense stumbles into it, or you don't check out of something that's not going to work. But every play, if you block where you need to, if you don't throw the ball to the other team, if you run the right route and you catch the ball, you do the, just mind your P's and Q's and stay on schedule, that play will likely be successful. And so for Iowa State to win the next few games, they have to do the same thing they've done to this point, which is stay on schedule. They are bigger and more physical than almost every team they're going to play, and I'll lump Texas into that. They out-physical, they beat the heck out of Oklahoma with running the ball, and they beat the heck out of Oklahoma's offense. They were more physical than Oklahoma. The only team that has contested that is Oklahoma State, to kind of match the headbutting that Iowa State's able to perform. So it's staying on schedule and trusting the fact that your physicality and your execution is better than theirs, that they may steal one here or there, but unless you give them the chance, they're not going to win. So it's, for the next couple weeks, is win turnover. Don't do the dumb stuff that you did in the first couple or the first few drives against Baylor and pit, you know, throw a, whether Chase Allen was supposed to be a foot wider or Brock was supposed to throw that a foot tighter, I don't know, but don't do that. You know, it's doing things and executing at an easy level. When I say easy, is just assignment and keys. If you can be a assignment 100% and key 100%, whatever happens is going to happen, but you're probably going to be successful. So it's mind your P's and Q's and stay on schedule and just do the simple things right. Don't try and do everything, because you are a better team. I would include both of all the final three games. This is fun to say, but I think Iowa State is a better team than Texas. Texas's defense is really suspect. They're out of position a lot. So Iowa State's a better team for the final than the final three games. Don't let the other team in by playing poor.
And I think the thing that's somewhat encouraging, too, is just Iowa State has not played a complete game. We've seen times where the offense played really well for portions of a game. We've seen times where the defense has probably been pretty close on a couple occasions to being what I would call a complete game. But there's never been when both units are clicking simultaneously, you know. And I don't – I guess maybe encouraging isn't the right word for that. But it's like if they can get to where they can play their best football – like, I think it's still out there, you know. We have not seen them do that yet, and we have not seen, I think, this group live up to what the potential for it is on both sides of the football in some I don't know, in some respect, I guess.
And yet they're leading the conference.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah.
And the encouraging part is they've not played perfect, and they're still winning the conference. The problem is it's going into, what, week, like, 96 of the season, and they still haven't played perfect, which is – perfect is a really hard standard to be held to. But at the same time, like you're talking about, it's just that the defense is 100% clicking and the offense is 100% clicking. I think the closest that we got were, like I'd mentioned before, were the middle half – basically anything after the block field goal before the last touchdown drive against Texas Tech, that was what Iowa State is capable of, but they couldn't hold it at the very start, the very finish. If that team shows up against anybody, they're going to beat the hell out of them. I mean, you know, not Alabama, Clemson, but like anybody that you're remaining in the conference, Kansas State, Texas, Western, if that team shows up, there's nothing that any other team can do, because they are that when they are that efficient running the ball and they're that efficient stopping the run and keeping everyone to a third and long. Yeah, you might get a Sam Ellinger big conversion here, or someone breaks a tackle and takes a big run there, but they're not going to be able to consistently out-execute that team. When the team that shows up in the first quarter against Baylor shows up, they can open the door and get beat by anybody. But that team is increasingly rare as the season has gone on. They've made less dumb stuff happen. It's Oklahoma State, one quarter against Baylor, quarter and a half against Baylor. But otherwise, for the most part, against basically the entire last five games, there hasn't really been a lot of opportunity for another team to really work their way back in.
And I think the thing that about this Iowa State team that's just so different, and I'm kind of just coming to this in my own mind, is that in the past, we sat and we talked about how, like, Iowa State has to do everything. They have to do everything right. They've got to do this right. They've got to do that right to hold these teams from beating them, because the teams are that much better than them.
It's like Kansas State. It's what we were talking about with Kansas State towards Iowa State. They have to do everything right.
Yeah, but now it's like you look at it and it's like, okay, well, we know that these other teams are good, but Iowa State's really good too. It's like, if Iowa State does what they're supposed to do and they don't go out and mess up, you're probably going to have a pretty good chance to win the football game. Mm-hmm. You know, it's what teams like – it's what a Texas would say coming into Ames, you know, 4 years ago. It's what Oklahoma would say coming into Ames 4 years ago. If we don't go in and do stupid stuff, we're going to be okay. You know, it might get a little hairy sometimes, but more often than not, we're going to be able to figure it out, you know. And right now, that's where I feel like we're getting to with Iowa State. It's not quite on that same level, just because obviously those programs recruit at a considerably different level than what Iowa State does. But it's like, with the veterans that you've got on this team and the guys that are really getting to the peak of their college careers, it's like if they go out and do what they're supposed to do and you play the way that you're supposed to play, you're going to win, or you're going to at least give yourself an opportunity to win. And that's just – you want to see them get out of their own way on some level. I would like to see them beat the hell out of somebody to end the year.
Yeah, I would too, and partially just be – you know, selfishly, it'd be really fun to watch a thorough ass-kicking of any of the final three teams on the schedule.
Specifically Kansas State. Specifically any of them.
Specifically any.
I'd like to see them kick the hell out of Kansas State.
Just for years.
Yeah, just to get back at them.
Yeah.
They've earned it.
For the past 15 years.
Yes, correct. I think Brent Bloom said that it's been since 2005 since Iowa State has beaten Kansas State by more than a touchdown. And obviously they lost by more than touchdowns in the 10-year span there.
We did. That happened. I was there for one of those. Four heartbreakers. One total drubbing.
That was the one was the
41-7, I think.
Yeah, I think that was the no stupid questions game.
Yep. That was really bad. Anyway, the thing that you're mentioning with Iowa State being kind of the caliber that they do have some wiggle room. You know, you don't have wiggle room against Oklahoma, but you don't necessarily have a ton of wiggle room against Texas, but you do have a little wiggle room against Kansas State. You just don't want to explore the wiggle room.
Right. You don't want to get into that situation if you don't have to.
Right. Like Baylor, Iowa State, we can say this, played like garbage in the first half. Very bad. Very bad. And then right out of the second half, they fumble it again. Like, just as calamitous as you can possibly tie together two quarters in a couple minutes. And then after that, because they have wiggle room, because their talent, their size, their execution, their athletic ability, their depth everywhere, they're able to just pull themselves back out of it because they're really good. Just don't dig yourself into those holes. That's the thing. You know, you're mentioning that Iowa State, if they play their game, they win. Name a team on the schedule that's not true.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think there was one.
Yeah, and they beat Oklahoma, which is the only one now that I would say, hey, you're going to have to really pull some things off. But even still, you already beat them.
Right. All right. Really quick before we move on. Authentic Brand is more than just your source for official Cyclone gear. With an amazing team of designers, Authentic Brand can custom manufacture polo shirts, jackets, caps, bags, and beyond for your team or small business. Check them out online at authentic-brand.com. Look authentic. Feel authentic. Be authentic. I don't know what more there is to talk about with this game coming up. I mean, it's just like we talked a little bit about it last week. I mean, Kansas State, we dove into their specific numbers and stuff like that. But it's just I think this is a game that Iowa State will win if they come out and play the way that they're supposed to. And I don't know. I got a feeling they're going to kick their ass a little bit.
I'm knocking on wood for you.
Thank you.
Knocking on wood for you. That's my contribution to Iowa State this week. No, I think the other, just a couple little mini shout outs. And again, knocking on wood. When you look around the country as far as like protocols and stuff like that, Mark Oberle and the athletic training staff, and then that trickles down through everybody else, has done a really good job of making sure they stay safe because kind of understanding the priority. So shout out to the policies and procedures that the university and the athletics department and the football team specifically have put in place to keep everyone healthy. Again,
one positive test out of their last 699 tests. As announced by Jamie Pollard today.
So, in that, the other thing that I'm really curious about, and you as a, you're close enough to having been a student that you kind of remember this. This academic calendar is weird. This academic calendar ends with finals before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Thanksgiving is a week from Wednesday, or a week from Thursday, yeah, which means their finals are a week from Wednesday.
No, the semester ends on Friday, I think. I thought that's what Brent said on the podcast Sunday night.
It was either that or I thought finals, they said, went Saturday to Wednesday. So the semester ends and then it's finals.
Yeah.
So your classes are done on Friday. Your semester is done through Wednesday of next week. If I'm, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure we'll get tweeted at or commented, whatever. But either way, you're in the middle of a game week and you're going into finals. Like, this is dead week. So the interesting thing that in my head is last week during a bye, I would guess, because Coach Campbell is a details guy, that last week was a heavy academic week for most of the guys in the team. That, you know, dead week is where your projects are due, your papers are due, all that kind of stuff is due. These guys are still students. They have to still do school stuff. And I bet they were spending a lot of time last week trying to get on top of their academics before coming into this week. Because if you have to stay up till 3 a.m. cramming for a final that you have to take on Tuesday of Texas week, that's not beneficial for anybody. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing last week, because of their academic calendar, a lot of stuff had to change with their academic schedule, which is it's an interesting nugget to kind of just consider as you go into these next couple games, is they're dealing with finals and dealing with Kansas State and Texas.
How would maybe last week have changed too when you consider that they're going to play two games in 13 days against pretty physical opponents?
Well, that's, I don't know if that necessarily changes too much, because it's just, you're at the end of the season. Like, at this point, it is, I mean, get in the training room, get in the weight room to do mobility stuff, to make sure you stay active, like make sure that everybody's all tied together. This is where Coach Andrews, the strength coach, when you upgrade the strength staff to match them with the athletic training staff, to match them with a really high quality coaching staff, the drop off that we had seen, and this is an interesting note that they, that Coach Campbell has kind of touched upon at various points throughout the year and off season, is when he kind of does a deep dive and like a deconstruction debriefing of the season, the thing that he's said is they always fell off in November. And he attributed that at least partially to a too intensive of a practice schedule throughout the season and too much lifting throughout the season, rather than preservation and kind of optimization of performance. It was still, you still had some strength building elements during the season. By the time they got to the end of the season in November, they started getting fatigued. Like, there is, your body can only do so much, especially through finals. There's just so much energy that your system can create. So that was one of the main reasons why they wanted to switch to get a new strength coach, to upgrade their strength staff to match them with the athletic training staff. And we saw in a November game against Baylor, granted it's not the 10th game of the season like a lot of November games are, but this, it was still, you're a November game. The second half, they went absolutely nuts. They dominated the second half. So, which means they have more legs left. They were able to be fresher. So the change of this strength staff is going to make a really big difference in what the back half of the season is going to be like, because this is the first time there's been a different strength coach since Matt Campbell's been at Iowa State, which I'm very curious to see. I'm not curious. I know that it's going to be better because the strength staff is really good. So it's going to be better. I'm just curious, how much better is it going to be based on their preservation of energy and the bodies of the guys to last throughout the season? Even if you're not injured, if you're fatigued, it doesn't matter. You can't, you're a step slow, you're a yard short, but being able to have enough energy, that's, especially through a season like this, that's another thing that's interesting. So with finals, with going into the end of the season, new strength staff, this is just a lot of stuff of programmatic things that a Campbell administration is going to focus on being really good. Even if it's not this year, it's going to be in years future, that's where they're going to end up going.
For sure. All right. I just wasn't sure if there would anything would be changed, but that
I doubt it.
It's just, I mean, a lot going on in the next 2 weeks on for the program.
Charlie is a brilliant kid, but like put yourself in Charlie's eyes for a second. He's a redshirt junior, right?
Yeah.
Fourth year student. So he's going into his senior year academic classes. So he has senior year academic classes, and he is in which engineering?
Oh, man.
I forget.
I'd have to look. I'm
something
not sure.
Like aerospace or like hydroelectric or material. I mean, something
high-level
engineering class. So you're Charlie Kolar, and you have to prepare for 3 or 4 different engineering finals and figure out what the front for Kansas State is going to provide while you're studying. And you have to get all your projects done. You have to create your whatever models you're going to have for your class. And then you have to turn around and play on Saturday. And you can celebrate your play on Saturday for a grand total of like 3 hours, because on the way home, you probably have to prep and continue prepping for your class that you have a final on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just what you have to have. The turnaround of any one of these guys is just really quick.
Oh, and by the way, you have to play another game on Friday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, your turnaround is day short.
And it's against the Texas Longhorns.
In Austin.
Yes.
Good luck, guys.
The day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So it's just, this is a lot going on. And it's not unique to Iowa State. There are a lot of academic programs out, or just a lot of schools that have set this academic calendar. But it's just a lot going on. So, you know, that if you are normally a person who hate tweets players, one, pull your head out of your ass. And two, hold back for the next couple weeks, just because they got a lot on their plate right now.
Certainly. All right. Is there anything else you want to add before we sign off?
Nothing, man. Just some get yourself some Van Veen chocolates.
Get yourself some Van Veen chocolates, and we will we'll talk to you guys again next week, hopefully on a victory Monday, prior to Friday's game against the Longhorns. All right, thanks everybody for listening. Peace.